After a week off, we are back as the NHL season is just over a month away. Can you believe it? Plenty of news stories to get to over the last couple weeks, including one RFA down in Dallas, another to go, Phil Kessel landing in Vegas, Stastny signs a new deal, Zadina, Myers extensions. And why is this story already coming up about the Toronto Maple Leafs? All that and more here on episode 148 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. Welcome once again. It is the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Kyle Grimard, your host, as always. Just want to say off the top, I appreciate everybody who reached out to me. Everything is all right, but I definitely needed last week off just to deal with some family things. But we are back at it this week, back to work and everything as well, which is good. And yeah, some other news stories have kind of trickled in over the last little bit, which makes the episode today a little bit more filled up and ready to go, and we'll go over some theories, some signings, and plenty more. Follow along on Instagram and Twitter. ST Hockey Podcast is the handle. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Anchor.com, great one as well if you don't use any of those major platforms. We got to talk a couple RFA signings. One in particular that we're going to get to is a very important one and a phenomenal deal. It is the true bridge deal that we just haven't seen in a long time. And I think for goaltenders, they're the exception. So we'll go over that. There's already a story, and not just in Ontario, the GTA, but on the NHL network involving the Toronto Maple Leafs. And why it is a story is baffling to me. But we'll get to that a little bit. A couple other signings and small things that have happened, of course, as well. But let's start with the Dallas Stars here. So the Dallas Stars right now still have an RFA up for grabs. Jason Robertson, still looking for a deal. One of their leading goal scorers, point getters on the team. First line, left winger. Incredible and integral player that they're going to build around. And right now, they've got about $13 million, something like that, $13.5 million to work with a projection right now that he'll make roughly $8 million a season. Well, one of the two is already done. Jake Oettinger has a brand new deal, a three-year, $12 million contract with an average annual value of $4 million per season. It actually came in a little bit lower AAV. A lot of people were expecting the 5x5. Oettinger wants the bridge, which is a three-year, $4 million per deal. We don't normally see these bridge deals anymore with players, right? The bridge deals we see are like the Matthew Barzells, right? It's a three-year, $21 million deal. Or it's the Quinn Hughes, where it's like not a bridge, but kind of a bridge because they're so young when they sign them. The Austin Matthews deal. Austin Matthews' deal ends when he's like 26 years old. Now he's setting himself up for a major payday, and he's already making $11.6 million a year. The Hughes deal is also like, what is it, 7-8? Cale Makar signed a five-year deal where he makes $9 million a year. Bridge deals are a lot more difficult to come by nowadays. And this, for the first time in a while, is like the first bridge deal that I can remember seeing a player sign that is not only, hey, it's a bet on myself, but also it's a team-friendly deal that could potentially set up a bigger contract moving forward. Jake Oettinger blossomed this last year. And a lot of people are like, well, they're going to pay him based on his playoff play. Yes, his playoffs were remarkable. He had a 1.81 goals against and a 954 save percentage in seven games against the Calgary Flames. But in the regular season, with a team like the Dallas Stars, who struggled to score, who defensively had their ups and downs, was 30-15-1 with a 253 goals against average and a 914 save percentage. His career is 41 wins, 23 losses, 8 overtime shootout losses, with a 246 goals against average and a 913 save percentage. He is also 23 years of age. He is 6'5", he is 220, he is your prototypical NHL goaltender in today's game. Right? Back in the day, you could get away with the 5'11", 6', Evgeny Nabokovs, Ed Belfors, right? Those guys that were maybe 5'11", 6'1", at the most. I think Broder was like 6'2". But now it's like you got to be minimum 6'3", or not even looked at. You got to be 200-plus pounds to not even be looked at. Like, the bare minimum is like 6'3", which is like Vasilevsky, Ilya Sorokin, Jack Campbell. Then you get the 6'4s, which are like Connor Hellebuck. I believe Freddie Anderson is 6'4". And then you've got the monsters who are bigger than that. The Jake Oettinger is at 6'5". I know Vasilevsky's 6'3 as well. Jacob Markstrom is like 6'4", 6'5". There's a couple of kids coming up who are like 6'7". You got to be at least 6'3 plus. Like, if you don't hit that mark now, it is incredibly difficult in today's game. But you've also got to play. And Jake Oettinger to me is his similar comp to me is Thatcher Demko. Thatcher Demko, who signed a 5x5 deal, was great last year, 6'4", 220. But Demko had like a season where he played a good amount, but then he broke out in the playoffs against Vegas. That was the year he had like a 0.67 goals against average in 7 games against Vegas, or I think he played 4 or 5 games, and like a 965 save percentage. Right? It was insane. And then the year after, he signs a deal, has a very strong season. I think he had a 914 save percentage and a 265 goals against average on the season last year. Well, Jake Oettinger was in that exact, like, played a good amount of games this past season, right? Started, played in 38 games, started, I think, the majority of them. Didn't hit the 50-game mark, but then made his presence made in the playoffs. Now I think he's going to take that step, and I think he is going to be the guy. But I love the deal for him, because the deal is a 3-year deal, which puts him at age 26. Then he can go get paid. And a team will give him the 7 or 8 years, where the first 4 or 5 years of the deal, he's still in his 20s, early 30s, and then the last couple years, you don't worry about it. The other thing with goaltenders, paying goaltenders later is not to the same effect as playing a player later. Perfect example, Marc-Andre Fleury. Brand new deal with the Minnesota Wild. He's what, 36? 37, Freddie Anderson, mid-30s, early 30s, new deal with Carolina. Now I know he's coming off injury, but, right, older goaltenders, it's not the same as older players. Goaltenders can play till they're later in their careers. It's been shown. Teams have, you remember the years of Dwayne Roloson and Evgeny Nabokov, those older guys taking their teams to cup finals. Dwayne Roloson with Edmonton, Nikolai Habibulin, sorry, not, well, I mean Nabokov too, but Nikolai Habibulin with Chicago. He's also with Tampa during that run, right? He was signed as a later goaltender. Later goaltenders can still get some deals. Now, they're not the main goal. They're not the main starters like a Fleury, but when you pay a goaltender at 27, 28, whatever the age may be, and you give them the 8-year deal, you're not worried about it because goaltenders age a little better. Why? Because they take longer to eventually break into the league. Look how long it took Carey Price. Look how long it took Carter Hart. He's still going. Oettinger might have a setback. He's only 23. But I like the bet on himself deal. It puts right now Dallas in a good situation where they can kind of figure out, is this going to be the guy? We'll figure it out in 3 years. It gives Oettinger a little bit of a pay raise and sets him up for a bigger contract, because if he is the guy, then Dallas can be like, all right, 8 years, whatever the number you want, 8.5, 9 million, sure. I love the deal for that. And it now opens up the door for them to have enough leeway and leverage to go re-sign their other big RFA, Jason Robertson. I love the deal for both sides. The other big deal that happened in the National Hockey League, it was funny because one of the things I've heard with what I do is some industries are very fickle. Conversations, ideas can be fickle, right? I work in country music. I've talked to artists who have released songs 4 years ago that finally start making their way onto the radio. And their answers are always the same. That country music, the industry itself, is fickle. And that you've got to, things change. One day, something doesn't sound good. The next day, everybody loves it. It's similar in the NHL. And hear me out here. Last year at the trade deadline, the name that was almost a slam dunk for sure to be traded was JT Miller. They're like, it's no way There's no way he's going to be able to re-sign. They don't have the money. They sign Besser. They still have to re-sign Horvat. JT Miller's going to be gone. It's imminent. Let's already start some packages of trades. Fast forward, and shocker, JT Miller signs a 7-year, $8 million extension with the Vancouver Canucks. He's got one more year left on his deal at $5.25 million. He will turn 30 in March of 2023. His 7-year deal will come in and will take him until his age 37 season. Jim Rutherford, the general manager of the team, said, quote, "You have to take some risk at the time for what JT has done, what he's capable of doing. We just felt it was worth that. He is a good player. He wants to be here. He'll figure out a way to contribute in the later stages of his contract." That's always the conversation when you sign a guy. It's funny, speaking of players who you're going to sign to older term, there are some players that do it very well. Patrice Bergeron, David Krejci just came back. Brad Marchand's, what, 34, 35? Alex Ovechkin, 36, 37. Sidney Crosby. I'm not saying Miller is that, but Miller also had like 99 points last year. Yes, he's a power forward, but he's in very good shape. He's a very good skater. Good skaters go a long way in this league. Look at Patrick Marleau. Patrick Marleau at age 35 signed a 3-year deal for like $6 million. Was he expected to put up 70, 80 points? No. But you know what he could do still? Skate. Now, the last year that deal didn't pan out, mainly because the team couldn't afford it. But if it was on any other team that wasn't cap-struck like the Leafs were, wasn't ideal. But it only really hampered them and a couple other teams who were at the cap. Like, he went back to Carolina and San Jose afterwards. It was fine. He signed a shorter-term deal afterwards. But the big thing with JT Miller, JT Miller can skate. JT Miller's in the prime of his career, and you have been getting JT Miller at a bargain for the last couple years at $5.25 million. When GMs sign these deals, they go, "We're looking at this as more of a 3 or 4 year deal. After that, we'll figure it out." Is Miller going to be the $8 million player at age 36 and 37? Probably not. Could he still put up 40, 50 points in a limited role? Potentially bank in 15 to 20 goals? Probably. You just at that point are saying, these next 3 to 4 years, we're going for it. We've got Miller, we've got Horvat, we've got Besser, Pettersson, Quinn Hughes, we've got the goaltender in Thatcher Demko, we've got Tyler Myers and Oliver Ekman-Larsson on the back end. But now what I wonder for Vancouver is, what does this mean for two of their players? Their captain, Bo Horvat, is in the final year of his contract. They also have 4 years left of Connor Garland at $4.95 million. He now becomes the guy I wonder if they can move on from. And it's funny because not that they don't love him, but if you're telling me who you'd rather take as a player, JT Miller had 99 points. Connor Garland had what, 50? 49? Still good season, but you're taking the all-star potential century mark scorer and JT Miller. He is also more versatile. He can play center. He can play wing. He can play penalty kill, power play, you name it. But it's funny how the league went from, oh, Miller's going to be the guy to go. Besser's going to be the guy to go. Jim Rutherford, who, by the way, took over early last year after the big coaching change and the general manager change, brought in Bruce Boudreau, extended him for a year, extended Besser, extended Miller. It's so funny how fickle it was and how different Vancouver could have looked had their old general manager, how their old management regime would have, what moves they would have made had they still been in charge. I think it's amazing. Again, career highs for Miller. 32 goals, 67 assists, average 21 minutes and 5 seconds on the ice. Top six in assists, top 9 in points. He was nominated for a few different awards. He's quite the player. And I love the move for Vancouver, but now I wonder where Vancouver is moving forward with their team. Because they're going to have to do something to extend a Bo Horvat. Now, right now on Cap Friendly, Vancouver is listed at $2.75 million over the cap. but they do not have any money that is currently sitting on their LTIR, I do not believe. But as I scroll down, Michael Fernlin might be the only guy, but he's already on it at $3.5 million. Right now on IR, there's Nils Höglander, Tucker Poolman, both names who are either going to be coming off or staying. And then Demko and Knight are locked in. Their defense looks pretty locked in. But yeah, four more years of Connor Garland at $4.95 million. Miller's extended, but Horvat's got one more year at 5.5. He will get a pay raise. Besser's extended. Pedersen's got 2 years left at 7.35. The brand new deals of Ilya Mikheyev are on there. There's a potential buyout and maybe Jason Dickinson at $2.65 million. There are moves to be made, but I wonder if a trade happens with this team. I wonder if a buyout happens with this team. There's a lot of teams who would be interested in the services of Connor Garland. He is a scrappy, hardworking, pain in the you-know-what to play against, who can chip in 20 goals and 50 points, and if you put him in the right situation with the right players, you put him on a second-line unit with a setup man. Look at Toronto and Michael Bunting. They signed him for 2 years at $950,000. Put him with Austin Matthews. What do you have, 67 points this year? 20-plus goals? You put Connor Garland in a similar situation. You put a guy like that in Edmonton with Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl? Good luck. You put a guy like that on a team like, I don't know. Give me another high offense team. Team that's trying to shed some cap right now. Maybe put him on a team like Boston. Put him with a David Krejci. Split up the perfection line. You put him with Patrice Bergeron or Brad Marchand. I'm telling you, a lot of teams could do a lot of damage with a guy like that. I've always been very high on him. He's a hardworking player. He can chip in. The size thing doesn't matter to me in that situation. The size thing to me only matters on players who aren't productive. Like, if you're small and can't score, yeah, that's a problem. But if you're small, but you still throw your weight around, are a pain to play against, and can chip in offensively, yeah, there's use for you. It's when you're not productive. That's when the small player effect comes in. Like, the big knock on Johnny Gaudreau was he was small. Who cares? He's a 115-point player. Marty St. Louis was small, wasn't physical, but he worked hard in the corners, and he could score. So it didn't matter. Mitch Marner is small, not overly physical. Who cares? He put up 94 points this past year. 30-plus goals this past year. It doesn't matter. Would you like them to be 4 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier? Sure, but maybe that doesn't make them the player that they are anymore. A lot of teams would be loving a guy like Connor Garland on their team. I know I've kind of gone away from the JT Miller part, but JT Miller's there. He's a part of the Canucks. He's part of the roster. He's part of their future. That's a lock. But now my thought process is what happens next in Vancouver? And Connor Garland was the guy who came up last year. And now that the dominoes are falling, Besser signed, Miller signed, Pedersen's their future, right? They brought in a couple other forwards as well. Andre Kuzmenko, who was one of the big UFA guys, who's 26, only making $950,000. Vasily Podkolzin, another guy. Mikheyev's on a four-year deal now. Like, the roster configuration's coming together. And Connor Garland was not a signing of Jim Rutherford. So I just wonder if he's the guy that goes, if Jason Dickinson, they're going to have to do more than one move. I'm telling you that right now. You can't just move Connor Garland or Jason Dickinson and be like, all right, we're good. Like, Dickinson alone barely gets you to the floor as of right now on cap friendly. Now there's other injured reserve moves you could make, but like, you're going to need at least a few million to bring in Bo Horvat returning. If Kuzmenko hits, you're going to need room for him. And then you fast forward another year. Elias Pettersson's up. Bo Horvat's up this year. You're always looking. You've got 5 years left of Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Travis Dermott's an RFA this year. In 2 years, Spencer Martin's up. You're always looking ahead, but I just wonder, it's an easier move if you can move a guy, get some picks back, and not bring back a player on big term. I wonder if that's a move there for Vancouver. Be interesting to see. Okay, let's move on. A couple other signings that took place. I want to get to those first before we get into the Leaf story here. Phil Kessel, a one-year, $1.5 million deal with the Vegas Golden Knights, who are slowly filling the voids of their lineup, as of course they have been marred by injury. They've had to cap shed. They lost Max Pacioretty in a trade. You know, Kessel's a good story. Now, maybe a change of scenery also helps. Maybe playing with Jack Eichel or Mark Stone helps a guy like Phil Kessel. He had 52 points in 82 games in his third full season with Arizona. He led the team with 44 assists. But the big thing with Kessel, and all I hear about, is the Ironman streak, right? Which is insane. He's at 982 consecutive NHL games, 34 years of age. He's 8 games away from breaking defenseman Keith Yandle's all-time record, which unfortunately he's only had for like a day. And all the dates line up where like he could break the record against Toronto. He could tie. He could hit 1,000 consecutive games against Arizona. And then he could break it against San Jose. Like there's all these dates. Now, maybe it was playing in Arizona where he had just 8 goals, shot at just 4.6%, became more of a passer. We saw this with guys like James Neal. Go to a team like Pittsburgh. Go to a team like Nashville, where you play with, was it Nashville? I know Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was Nashville because it was Patrick Hornqvist. And you play with setup guys, and James Neal's then a 40-goal scorer. Phil Kessel, a little bit older than James Neal, but maybe goes back and maybe he becomes 20-goal scorer playing with Jack Eichel. Maybe he becomes a 55, 60-point guy. He already had 52 points last season. But maybe the goals go up when you play with better players, more established players in the league than what Arizona has done. And Vegas gets a $1.5 million hit, which is not nearly as bad. I don't hate it. So we'll see what Phil the Thrill does over in Vegas. But Vegas getting another roster player to fill out right now is, of course, they were shedding a little bit and are really cap strung. So it's good. It's a good deal for both parties. Red Wings signing forward Philip Zadina to a 3-year contract with an AAV of $1.825 million. This is like a bridge, but also like a little bit of an extension on a very cheap deal. He's only 22 years of age, so he still has time to develop. I know he was a high-end pick, but he's only put up 24 points in 74 games last season. He played about 14 minutes a night, 11 seconds with the Red Wings. But some players take a little longer to develop, give him a bigger opportunity and a bigger role, maybe put a setup man with him. I don't know. Like, there was a lot of hype around this guy as a pure goal scorer, and some guys aren't just in the NHL impact. Some guys need 2, 3, 4 years to get going. He's not 26. He hasn't been in the system for like 8 years. He's 22. His entry-level deal just ended, and you've got him at a 3-year deal, less than $2 million. If he ends up being a guy who only produces 35, 40 points a year, and is a good third line guy who can add a little scoring punch to your lineup, then fine. It's not like Detroit is hurting with prospects and young players. Tyler Bertuzzi, Dylan Larkin, Mort Sider. All right, they just traded for Ville Husso and Net. You've got Alex Nedeljkovic there as well. You've got Sanderson. Like, there's a lot of really good players, young guys on this team. And if Zadina ends up being more of a depth guy while other guys flourish in their roles, it's not the end of the world. I know he's a high-end pick, but you'd rather get some value for a player than none at all and let him move on. But give him time. He's 22. He's not 27. He's not a guy that's been in your system for a decade. He's 22. Give him time. Tampa signed defenseman Philip Myers, a 1-year extension with $1.4 million. He was acquired in the trade with Ryan McDonough from the Nashville Predators. He already has a cap hit this upcoming season at $2.55 million. Similar to Zadina, he's 25. He had 4 points in 27 games, more of a defensive guy. He played in 16 games with the AHL Toronto Marlies, but he played his first 3 years in Philadelphia. He was part of the deal with the Ryan Ellis swap back in 2021. And I just think that he is the guy that, very similarly, young player, 25, defenseman, who end up taking a little bit longer to develop than forwards anyways, has been in systems with teams like, you know, Nashville, who's a very good defensive team. They're a good defensive team. So it's very hard to develop when you are behind Ryan Ellis, when you are behind Matthias Ekholm, when you are behind a Roman Josi, when you are behind a top four that has been cemented for like a decade now, back when they had Ryan Suter and they had Shea Weber. The point I'm trying to get at here is they're defensively, Nashville has always been one of the top tier teams. Always have been. So sometimes as a younger player, it is a lot more difficult for them to develop younger guys who can make impacts in your lineup because there's just nowhere to go. Tampa Bay has taken players like Eric Chernak, and they had Luke Shen and Zach Bogosian and younger guys who played very impactful roles on their team and become players that are either revitalized or have found their niches in the league. Eric Chernak's one of them. Mikhail Sergachev was a second line, sometimes third line defenseman. They move out Ryan McDonagh. He's automatically going to fill in that top four slot. Philip Myers, right? I don't know if Zach Bogosian's still going to be there or not, but Luke Shen was there for a little bit. On the right side, outside of like Eric Chernak, you know, this is a guy who can come in and potentially be a guy on their bottom pairing. I don't know, but if there is a team where a guy is going to make an impact and find his game, it is in Tampa Bay. All right, and the final segment we'll get to today is hilarious because everybody complains about it's too much Leaf hype. It's too much Leaf talk, right? Especially in like Ontario and Canada in general, because they're a Canadian team. They get talked about quite a bit. But in the States, it's not nearly as common. Yet somehow on the NHL Network, what segment comes up last week? Can the Toronto Maple Leafs re-sign Michael Bunting? Why is this not a story about Vancouver and Bo Horvat? Why is this not a story about any other player with an entire year left? Why is this not a story about the Colorado Avalanche and Nathan MacKinnon? No. It is about the Toronto Maple Leafs and 26-year-old rookie Michael Bunting, who had 23 goals and 63 points playing with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, who is in the final year of a $950,000 contract. No. Let's not talk about Nathan MacKinnon or where Nazem Kadri was going to sign up until that finally happened. No, the topic was, can the Leafs afford to re-sign Michael Bunting? Why is this a topic? Why is this being brought up? This is an entire season. Every year there is a player. A couple years ago it was Zach Hyman. There's already talks about, is Austin Matthews going to stay in Toronto? Guys, Austin Matthews has 2 years left on a deal. He's not even allowed to re-sign until next summer. Why is this happening? There is also, I get it if it's Leafs media. I do. When you are a fan of a team, you go a little bit more in depth about some of your players. I'm a fan of the Green Bay Packers. I have been listening to practices and training camps of fringe third string and second string guys for the team that nobody's ever going to hear their names of. But those things matter to me because I'm a fan of the team. And similarly to the Leafs, when you're talking about third and fourth line guys, and yeah, Michael Bunting, who's a first line player. But why is this a topic? Why do people care so much? By the way, if the Leafs don't re-sign him, they'll find another one of him. Why do you ask me that? Because it's all they've done. When Zach Hyman was making $2 million for like 4 years, when they were putting, it's going to be Nick Robertson on the in the top six at some point. It's going to be Rodion Amirov, who, by the way, is on the ice again, listed in lineups after his brain tumor or his cancer scare, I believe. That's what teams do. Teams who spend up. Colorado and Valeri Nichushkin, who makes like, what is it, $6 million now? $6.5 million now? Was not making $6 million last year. They traded their goaltender, Darcy Kemper. Why? Because he's going to make $5 million in Washington. And they traded for Alexander Georgiev, who is not proven, but is cheaper. Every team does this. Every team. We just mentioned them. Vancouver has gotten JT Miller at $5.25 million. Every team has these players. So if he goes, he goes. But if he stays, great, he'll stay. Why are we talking about this? At the time it was talked about, it was August of the year before his contract is up. A couple other things just to bring up. One, he's a local kid. He's an Ontario boy. Two, I don't think he's stupid and understands that when he was in Arizona, he had 14 career points before coming to Toronto. And then that jumped to 63 in 1 year because he played with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. He is not going to cost $8 million to extend. He is a 23 goal. Maybe he reaches that point threshold next year. Maybe he doesn't. But he loves playing in Toronto. If they re-sign him, great. If they don't re-sign him, great. If Matt Murray sucks this year, they clear $5 million in cap and they use that to extend him. Like there's, I can't believe this topic. I can't believe it. How about we just enjoy the fact that he's on the team again this year? That they've made some adjustments, but he is still there. Be happy about the fact that they re-signed him. The Leafs re-signed Nicholas Aubé-Kubel, who might get looks in the top nine at some parts. Like, it's just, it's hilarious to me. It's hilarious that these are topics. It's hilarious that these things are happening. The Leafs have Nick Robertson who could come up, who's cheap right now, could fill a role. They're going to have Matthew Nyes, who's playing in the NCAA. Come up and play a role. If he leaves, they've got guys to replace him. If he stays, they've got a long list of players who are also going to add depth to this team. But stop bringing this up like it's a topic. And then stop complaining that all Leaf fans talk about is themselves. And it was like a top story on the NHL Network. And I was blown away laughing at it. So he's a Leaf this year. He might be a Leaf the year after. He might not be. We are not at that point to talk about it just yet. Goodness gracious. All right, that does it today. One other quick news note. Vegas Golden Knights acquired Aiden Hill from the San Jose Sharks for a 2024 fourth-round pick. They've got now another goaltender. They talked about going with Logan Thompson and Michael Hutchinson. It looks like Aiden Hill's going to be a part of it. It might be a Logan Thompson-Aiden Hill thing with Hutchinson. God forbid an injury happens, but they go out of their way. He had a .906 save percentage last year, 2.66 goals against, two shutouts, and he also added two assists. He has got 1 year left at $2.175 million. Also, former head coach Mike Babcock has officially closed the curtains on a head coach, but he looks like he is going to stay away from the NHL, saying that he is looking like he's going to stay back. He Says his wife and I have discussed. He said we're going to retire at some point. And he said that, so quote, if things change, I guess they change, but surely that's not our plan. Believe me, we've talked to lots of people about opportunities, enjoy the conversations. In the end, we feel that this is the best for us and for our family. So that's what we're doing. He was coaching the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. They had a 13-7 record, and they lost to the Calgary Dinos in a best-of-three quarterfinal series. So it looks like there was, if there was a door for Babcock to come back in the NHL, looks like it is coming to a close, but nevertheless, sounds like he's not going to be making his return to the league. All right, does it for today. Appreciate everyone again for having the week off for me and just checking in, making sure I was okay. Follow along at Instagram and Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NHL season just over a month away. It's all very exciting and stuff. Enjoy the rest of the week. Until next time, that's a wrap.